Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka, chukma. All across the tundra, I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and to the coast. Grady Deaton here, coffee at KYUK. As usual, I'm excited and sharing my excitement with you. Today on my sideboard, chewy ginger candies, gin-gins. I love these things. They're my excitement for the morning, but I digress. Many students in the lower Kuskokwim School District returning to school. Some still in remote learning. To give us another update on the status of the schools, LKSD Superintendent Kimberly Hankins joins KYUK's Greg Kim. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Grady. Thank you for the intro. And good morning. Thank you to Kimberly for being on our show this morning.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Kimberly, last time we spoke, we heard that two communities had opened up schools in two different ways. Can you tell us what's been going on since then?
Certainly. So as of today, we have 10 sites that have opened, with another 11 sites opening this week. So by the end of this week, the majority of LKSD schools will be open. We do have five that will open next week, and then we have a couple of communities that are sort of on hold due to tribes request communities where case numbers have sort of risen quite dramatically in the last week to 10 days that we're just keeping an eye on and making sure that we stay in touch with those local tribal councils, you know, to make sure that we are honoring their desire to kind of wait and see how things continue to transpire there.
I see. And speaking of those communities where the tribes have said that they maybe want to hold off, if cases increase in other communities that have already opened, could you see that schools maybe going back to remote learning as well?
You know, Greg, it's hard to predict. I would think that just based on the history of this year and knowing that oftentimes when there are cases or an increase in cases in some of our village communities, it is the wish of the tribe to move back into a lockdown situation. We have seen that play out frequently over the year, so I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. And, you know, we really work hard to be a good community partner, and, you know, it's really important to us to keep working with our tribes as we continue to navigate the pandemic.
Gotcha. And last time we heard that surveys showed that a very high percentage of parents all around the district were supportive of schools reopening. Have you seen that those numbers were indicative of the percentage of students that are eligible to return to school that have chosen to return to in-person learning?
Yes, I would say definitely in our village sites, most of our students who can return are returning. Of course, we do have, you know, a handful of cases where either the student themselves might be medically fragile or someone in the immediate family household is, and families then choose to remain with remote learning. Here in Bethel, we had our BRHS seniors welcome back last week, and of those eligible to return, about 70% did. And we anticipate also bringing in groups of high needs students at the high school there. And it looks like preliminary data shows about, again, 70% of those we'd like to see back in person will plan to attend in person.
I see. I know that each school is doing this hybrid mode of learning a little bit differently, but I wonder if you could walk us through what a normal day of school looks like in this hybrid mode with cohorts, maybe just using one example school.
Sure. So you're right. Each of our schools is unique in terms of space availability and then student population and staffing size. So the way they approach some of the measures we have in place might look different, but each school is implementing the same things, such as universal masking, you know, that physical distancing, cohorting, screening of students, and so on. So in some of our schools, when students immediately enter the building, I would say this is true in a lot of our smaller sites, they are screened upon entry, meaning they have their temperature taken. They're asked a series of questions, you know, have you had any of the following symptoms, et cetera. So sometimes that happens right at the door. For our larger schools, it's not always feasible to do this right at the door. So in some of our schools, students enter and go directly to their cohort classroom, and then they go through that screening process in the classroom itself with the classroom teacher. So that would be one difference. Of course, based on space, you know, that's going to determine what the physical layout looks like in each classroom, but we are making sure that we're following that physical distancing guidance of 6 feet. So regardless of the room you go in, you'll see that desks are spaced out and or students are in assigned locations that are at a minimum of 6 feet apart. Of course, universal masking is one thing that we require for students and staff, so that is also in place. Another thing I've seen in a lot of our schools, either when I have visited schools here in Bethel or I've had pictures sent, is the use of signage throughout the building, just as a reminder to students and staff and any visitors about the expectations. And then sometimes arrows on the floor sort of to direct traffic and or lines of tape on the floor to space students out. I've seen this in entryways of schools so you don't get a lot of students sort of congested in the entryway. Yeah, so those are some of the things I know that are happening. And again, it kind of depends on, you know, which school and then the number of students.
Gotcha. And for high school students, or you, as an example, maybe they – I actually don't know how BRH, Bethel Regional High School, works. I don't know if they usually move around classrooms to go to different periods for science or English. But I imagine with the cohort system, they're not doing that. Can you talk about like movement of students or throughout the day with lunch and stuff like that?
Yeah, great question. So with the cohort system, the mitigation strategy, we really do want to keep that cohort together and to minimize movement or interaction with other cohorts in the building. So this mostly looks like a cohort would be in the same physical space for the duration of the school day. In some buildings, teachers are changing locations. Instead of moving cohorts, it's a little easier to manage. And again, we want to make sure that cohort maintains that physical distance while in that classroom. We have, you know, one of the best things of the last couple of weeks here, because we did have a couple of sites open March 1st and then several more last week, has just been hearing the stories that principals have been sharing and staff. And I think overall, there's just a sense of hope and happiness, sort of, you know, that things are starting to feel, for lack of a better word, right, that, you know, getting back to normal, even though it doesn't really look like what we're used to, getting students back in the building is certainly something to celebrate, and it's just been very joyous. I know for our pre-K here in Bethel, they started last week, and you know, they've all been happy to see their teachers and friends in person. They have learning stations positioned strategically around their classroom, and I did a walkthrough of the preschool last week, and those students certainly are quick to remind me upon entry that I need to keep my mask on and I need to stay apart from other people. But it's really nice the way that the staff has spaced them out. They each have a station with their own toys, their own books, their own materials. I've heard from several of our principals who, instead of doing a mass, everyone in K-6 is coming back the same day, that they kind of did a rolling start, welcoming back, you know, a handful of grade levels at a time. And the feedback on that from those sites was that they felt like it was a great way for them to start. They learned a lot about how all their planning translated into practice, and have made some small adjustments and have had time to do that. And that it's just been wonderful, again, to see those kids back in the building and hear and see instruction in progress live. I did hear from one of our village sites that the principal shared with me that one of the classroom aides overheard one of the second graders excitedly tell a friend, "I got to raise my hand in class today." Those are the fun stories to hear. I also heard that, and I haven't confirmed this with the principal here, but I heard that welcoming the kinder back here in Bethel last week, we had our first day of kindergarten with no tears. Everybody was just pretty excited. So that's really great to hear. Those are the fun stories, and I know I'll certainly hear more this week and next.
Those stories are really wonderful to hear. And it sounds like with those younger grades, even, that it hasn't been super challenging enforcing those masking or distancing rules. You know, with those young kids like pre-K, they've still been following the rules pretty carefully.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, I think a lot of that is a credit to parents. We have certainly reached out, I'd say, over the last month in all of our district communication and the communication from sites to really encourage parents and families to be talking with their students about what the expectations at school will be, you know, what it means to be in a cohort, what does that physical distancing look like, and then to start practicing ahead of time wearing masks. I know I've been doing the same thing with my own two children, you know, it's just been eye-opening. As a parent, it's kind of fun to see, you know, the questions they have about masking, especially from my four-year-old who's in pre-K.
It's pretty amazing to hear about how adaptable and resilient our young people are here.
Yeah, I would agree, Greg. And, you know, speaking of, I'm really encouraged by initial reports back from sites. For those who have been in school 1 to 2 weeks now and have had the chance to do some initial diagnostic testing of kids. You know, some of the stories I'm hearing are that, you know, we certainly have a lot of work to do, but that the learning loss that we were all fearing might not be as bad as we had anticipated. And that I think that's also, you know, a real credit to our families who have worked so hard over this last year, you know, to utilize resources and make sure that students were engaged in learning even though we were in remote. So I do really want to just thank our families for all of their hard work. You know, and we're certainly moving in the right direction. We're not totally out of the woods, but it does feel hopeful.
Right, and we'll definitely have to come back and talk about the learning loss that has happened and how LKHD is planning on addressing that. But I want to talk about a different testing in school. LKHD is currently working on getting a testing system set up in each school so that there's regular COVID-19 testing of students and teachers. And I talked with the Lower Yukon superintendent, who said that district is doing that with teachers administering tests for students, and they're planning on doing that every 2 weeks for every student and teacher. Can you talk about how LKSD's testing program is developing?
Yeah. So since we last spoke, we have been able to finalize the forms that we need to distribute to families. So there is a form that the district sends out for parent permission because the screening testing is voluntary. And I just want to, I guess, differentiate that. So what we'll be offering, similar to other regional school districts, is the BINEX testing, which is screening testing. And it's intended to identify infected, asymptomatic individuals who may be contagious so that further measures can be taken to prevent any transmission. And then based upon school size, we have different testing goals. And that's all found in, I guess we're following exactly what YKHC had recommended in those updated formal recommendations that they put out in mid-February. So that's broken up based on whether you're a small school, a medium school, or a large school in terms of how often they recommend that students and staff are tested. So again, we have the permissions all worked out, ready to be distributed. The leadership team here at LKSD, we have received the training ourselves. And so I just want to say thank you to YKHC. They provided an excellent training for our staff, both on how to properly wear the PPE that's required, and then also how to administer the tests, and then also how to, you know, assist and teach students to self-swab. YKHC is recommending that students 12 years and older be able to self-swab. So we were trained on what the BINEX card looks like, how to take the nasal swab once you have the sample, how to use the card. You know, what's really nice about the BINEX testing is that you do the sample and then you'll have a result in about 15 minutes. And it's incredibly easy to read the result, so there's no guesswork in it. And then based on that, you know, you can follow next steps. So that's sort of where we are. And again, I mentioned, oh gosh, a couple of times ago when I was on coffee, that we really are also looking to partner to the extent possible with our local health clinics. Of course, for LKSD, we do have a couple of, village schools where, there are no local health clinics. So it'll be a combination of working with local health clinics to administer testing, bringing somebody into the building, a health professional, and or training our own staff to do that test administration.
Okay. And when do you think that students would start being tested in LKSD schools?
Great question. So we have our lists ready to go. So one thing we have to provide to YKHC are our numbers, of course, by site, because they then send the BINEX cards and the PPE to each of our schools. So that's all ready to go. So I would assume between getting the materials shipped out and then making sure our staff is trained, I see us coming online in the next 2 weeks.
Gotcha. And then what would happen, can you kind of talk me through a scenario, what would happen if a student or a teacher tested positive on one of these tests?
Sure. Well, first of all, so we do screening every day for students, and that's the taking the temperature, asking, you know, have they had any of the symptoms. And so, of course, what we're looking for before we even do testing is really is symptom-free schools. So we encourage all students, all staff, to stay home if they do have any symptoms. If a student or a staff member comes into the building and then they do have a temperature of 100.4 or above, we do refer them for testing. And then if we had a situation where we were administering the BINEX test and one of them resulted in a positive, Immediately that would be reported. The student's family would be notified. They would be isolated. Their family would be asked to come to the school to get them. We would refer them to YKHC for further testing, because remember, the testing we're doing is antigen testing, and so they would be referred to YKHC for the diagnostic testing, which is that PCR test.
Right, and then, I just want to,
yep.
Sorry,
oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Camilla, I just want to interrupt to let our audience know that the Binex testing that LKC and other school districts are using, that's really good for screening a large population and seeing if there are undetected cases there, but it's maybe not quite as accurate as what you mentioned as a diagnostic PCR test, so a little different kind of purpose of test. Is that correct?
Yeah. Exactly, Greg. So with a diagnostic, that PCR test, that really looks for the DNA of the virus, while the antigen test is really looking for a specific piece of the virus, I guess. So if we get a positive on an antigen test, we want to refer to YKHC for further testing to get that diagnostic or PCR test done.
Right.
If that came back positive, well, of course, we want to disinfect and clean the classroom, and then if it was confirmed positive, we would close the classroom for 14 days. The school, we hope, would remain open. The school, and there would also be cohort notification of a confirmed COVID-19 in that cohort situation. If there was a positive, I will say, of course, and we talked about this at the beginning, you know, we'd want to definitely continue to work with the local tribe, depending on where that was, closely, in terms of whether the classroom just closes or what the tribe itself feels comfortable doing.
Makes sense. I have a lot of questions that I haven't gotten to, but it's a good thing that you're coming on next Monday to continue updating us on school reopenings. I just wanted to open up this opportunity in case you had anything you wanted to say to parents or students. It would have to be short.
Sure.
Within a minute.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. Well, I sure appreciate the chance to come on. I think there's a lot of information to give, so I appreciate having this opportunity. You know, to our students, it's certainly been awesome to see them back in school. And to our staff, you know, I know it's been such a long and challenging year. And to be able to visit a couple schools here locally last week and to see the smiles and to just hear the stories has been so uplifting. So I just want to say thank you to our staff. Thank you to students for following all the mitigation strategies. We certainly appreciate it. And thank you to our parents, you know, for doing the heavy lifting when we're in remote and for preparing students to come back into buildings. I know that we have a really strong community in LKSD, and I certainly appreciate everyone working together and all the support. So thank you, and thanks, Greg.
Awesome. Thank you for the update, Kimberly. You've been listening to LKSD Superintendent Kimberly Hankins talk about school reopening, and you can catch her next Monday with another update. This is Coffee at KYUK. I'm Greg Kim. Back to you, Grady.
Thanks, Greg. Well, yesterday the ice road was announcing no small car traffic recommended at the time due to the Akechuk deep rough overflow area. I haven't heard otherwise, so for now, caution on the ice road for overflow areas, and we'll have more on that as the day progresses. Other than that, I've got one thing left to say, and that's don't forget to be awesome to each other.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.